20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. I am so excited to kick off our expert week here, pre-training camp. Have five experts lined up all week long, and we are kicking things off with the one and only Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV. You can follow him on Twitter at Aaron Nagler. Aaron, it has been far too long. How the heck have you been?
I'm doing well. I will say, if I had known that this was like expert week or whatever, I probably would have declined the invitation, as I am nowhere near anything approaching an expert. But I'm here. If I'm the first, then I guess it's like the preseason, so that's good. I'll kick it off.
Tom Grassi just did a huge charity thing for 30 days. This is my charity. I'm going to bring on everyone and call them experts.
There you go. I like it. It
evens out, right? this is absolutely amazing. It's always great to talk to you. So how we're going to kick this off is I'm going to ask everyone this week the same three Packers related questions. Then I'm going to ask every expert two specific questions and then a personal question. So are you ready to go on the hot seat?
Ready to go. Let's do it.
All right. So the first question, super easy. Training camp's coming up. What is the number one thing on your list that you are most looking forward to about Packers training camp? It could be a player, could be a theme, could be anything. It just cannot be anything Jordan Love related. So put him to the side.
Well played.
Outside of Jordan Love, what are you most looking forward to?
It's got to be all the youth on offense, right? It's going to be fascinating to watch a couple of different aspects of I think a couple different competitions in camp probably jump out at you, whether it's at the safety position, how the offensive line shakes out, what they do as far as a pass rush rotationally. But for me, it's got to be. I mean, it's the new toys, right? How do they utilize Reed? Who's getting snaps where? How much two tight end stuff do we see? How's DeGuara being utilized? Like, I'm fascinated to see the new offense. I'm not going to talk about Jordan Love, but I will say, like, it's a new dawn. And we talked about this a lot at Cheesehead TV. You and I have talked about this a lot. Like, the fact that we're on the precipice of something brand new is so exciting. And I'm, like I said, just fascinated to see how all the parts kind of get interwoven and utilized across the entirety of the offense.
No, I totally agree. And it's not like it's just like new pieces, right? It's like, it's fun pieces too. It's not like they just went out and got like your normal, like if it was just, Dontavian Wicks or something, which is still would be like a cool thing. But like, this is Jaden Reed in the second round.
There's so many.
And Dobbs in year two, Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft. Like there are a lot of really fun
pieces. Right down into like the late rounds, into the undrafted kids. Like there's so many kind of fun possibilities on offense this year. And again, I'm just fascinated to see how the offensive staff goes about utilizing their talents.
Even like the undrafted darling so far has been Malik Heath. And like, there is a Bo Melton hive out there. I don't know why there's a Bo Melton hive, but there is a
Bo Melton. Come on, do not deny the greatness of Bo Melton, sir.
That is true.
I won't have it.
That is my bad. But no, there's a lot to be excited about. And I think just the unknowns and like the hope springing eternal, I think it's all going to be really fun. And it's just like, Romeo and Christian are going to get a lot of the targets, number one and number two. But like after that, it's just like everything is opportunity. And that's what I think is so exciting.
And to that point, though, I mean, the Bo Melton hive, like we joke, but if there's a camp in the NFL where if you are a young NFL pass catcher and you want opportunities or at least just a chance to turn some heads and maybe get a chance to kind of rise up the ranks, so to speak, up the depth chart, it's in Green Bay. Yeah. I mean, even you talk about Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. There's no guarantee they pick up where they left off last year. Sure. There's no guarantee that they take that proverbial next step. I expect they will. But, man, if there is a spot, like I said, in the league where right now, if you're a young offensive player, there are going to be ample opportunities to shine in Green Bay, Wisconsin, starting in a couple weeks.
Not to bring this in a negative direction, but to your point, last year we were expecting, Eric Stokes is going to take a massive jump from year one. Josh Myers is going to take a massive step in that.
It's not a foregone conclusion. Exactly.
No, not at all. All right. Number two, maybe the single most important question as we head into training camp in this season, an impossible seemingly question to answer. But as we sit here today, pre-training camp, what are your expectations for Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers in 2023 as we sit here right now?
I get asked this a lot, as you might imagine, as I'm sure you are. I keep saying there's differences between what my expectations are and what I think probably the fan base is looking at as far as turning the page, new starting quarterback, etc. I keep saying all I want to see is development and improvement throughout the season. I want them playing better ball in December than they are in September, right? That said, like, I think this is a playoff team talent-wise. Now, we all know that doesn't mean anything. You know, you sit here in the summer and look at the names on paper, and I can see the talent. I can see the possibilities. But we all know they got to play those games, and injuries happen, and ebbs and flows will come, and it's a first-year starter at quarterback. There are going to be tough times. There are going to be really tough moments. I'm really fascinated to see how they respond, how Matt responds as a head coach, you know, especially after last year. I mean, you go through that five-game losing streak. It's like at this point he's got some armor on him. He knows kind of those tough times, right? But this is a very young team, and I'm, yeah, like I said, I just want to see growth throughout the year. I mean, no one wants to say it. No one wants to talk about it. But for me, this year is about setting a foundation. Like, if they make the playoffs, that's great, and I think they can.
Bonus.
But it's not what I'm most concerned about. I'm most concerned with a team setting a foundation for future success where they open up another window where they're always contenders. I want that, again, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and this year is a big component and kind of kickoff for that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think the really interesting thing is usually this time of year, we're talking about, all right, how can Green Bay be playing their best football come, you know, December and January? Like, right. We want them peaking at the right time. I want the same thing this year, but for totally different reasons. Exactly. It's not necessarily to be like peaking at the right time for the playoffs.
Got to get hot for the playoffs, right?
If it is, it's a bonus.
It'd be great. I'll take it. Exactly. Right.
But it's more of like, can they show consistent progression throughout the course of the season? And even if they had those stumbling blocks, and even if they start a little bit slow, if they're showing me at the end of the year, I think it was the first McCarthy season, whatever, like the first or second McCarthy season where they went like 4-8 and then they won their last four games of the season
100%.
And they go 8-8. And like, you could just feel like something. And the next season, I think, was 13-3.
And they're heading in the right direction.
Yep, exactly.
And
like, I just want to see something building towards the end of the year in the right direction. And if I feel that, and specifically, obviously, with Jordan Love, I feel like that's going to be a massive success.
I mean, Jordan's the biggest part, obviously. You don't want to belabor it because it is so obvious. But look, we've seen kind of so many little glimmers and spurts throughout his first 3 years in the league, and it's so funny watching now. That tape from Philadelphia has been sliced and diced in like every single play, even the incompletion to Aaron Jones where everybody's like, oh, it's such a great throw. And it is, but my God, we need some new tape on Jordan Love, because man, people have gone crazy. They've gone ham on that game for good reason, but now it's time for him. You know, it's a big jump coming in, spot duty, various situations to a week-to-week starter leading the team, leading the offense. Again, I just want to see him playing better in December than he is in September.
Tune into the Pack-A-Day podcast next week as I break down Jordan Love's middle school tape.
You got any more of that Jordan Love tape?
Right, exactly. We're more. No, it is going to be interesting to see what he can do. And obviously, all eyes are going to be on him from preseason, regular season, and hopefully beyond. All right, we've had this entire offseason to stew and marinate. I don't know if you know this, but Aaron Rodgers got traded. Like, everything has happened. What is something that is sticking with you as we sit here in July, either a reason for optimism or a reason for pessimism? You can go in any direction that you want, but something that is just like coursing through your veins that you just want to talk about. And it's just been something that's been, you know, you've been stewing on and marinating through the course of this offseason.
Can we finally get Aaron Jones recognized as a superstar in this National Football League? You know, it is, you know, the kind of narrative that's been spun throughout Twitter this offseason is that, and I know Matt kind of addressed this in one of his offseason availabilities, like they're finally going to run the Matt LaFleur offense. And Matt Cagey Lee saying, well, I don't know what that means. Well, I think you know what that means, Matt. But the idea that I don't expect we're going to get through any games this year where Aaron Jones gets 3 carries in a half. And if we do, something's gone egregiously wrong. Like, can we finally recognize, like today, somebody, I think it was MJD, who I love at NFL Network, had his top 5 running backs, and Aaron Jones doesn't get a sniff. Yeah. Like, what? Does anyone look at his game? Does anyone watch his tape? More importantly, look at the numbers. Like, you can't point to basically any category where the man doesn't shine, yet he constantly gets, I guess, forgotten. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that this is the year that Aaron Jones finally gets recognized as a superstar. And it's kind of funny because, you know, he took a somewhat of a pay cut to stick around.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, you know, he did so with the, you know, the idea that, yeah, this is probably going to be my time to shine, because he's got such familiarity with the system. This is a first year starter at quarterback. You got to think they're going to lean on that running game and on the running backs in the passing game. I just, this is my prayer to the football gods that Aaron Jones finally is recognized as the superstar he is.
To be fair to all the people making their running back listicles this time of year, sometimes his previous or his current and previous coach have forgotten about him as well.
Yeah, I know. So
the weird thing is it's like almost like, you know, Mike not playing him almost at all that first season, and like him sometimes getting forgotten has also led him to this like super long running back career in the NFL, where we're seeing guys like Ezekiel Elliott and others that are just like trying to hang on and like do anything, but he's got like still fresh legs and he's still good to go.
Question.
I've been watching.
And that's the balance, right? That's, I get it. I totally get it. That's the balance. You're trying to keep him healthy, because look, throughout his career, he's gotten nicked up. I get it, man. You want him healthy in December going into the playoffs. I understand all that. But 3.5 carries. That's egregious. No,
very much so. I've been watching this 2022 season back, and it's just like it's just so easy to strike you of like, man, he is still so freaking good. He's always been so freaking good. It feels like he's always going to be so freaking good. It's like he is one of the most underrated stars, I think, in all 100%. My time watching football.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, it's a couple Aaron Nagler specific questions here. Boy. So. As mentioned, Aaron Rodgers is gone. We are in the post-Aaron Rodgers era. So I want to ask you, what is the thing that you are most excited about in the post-Aaron Rodgers era? And what is the thing that you are going to miss the most about Aaron Rodgers being gone?
Well, miss the most is easy. It's the insane plays where I never, ever, ever fret that he's putting the ball in danger, yet I know he can make any throw from any place on the field and put it anywhere else on the field. And the fact that he was still doing it, I know there's a lot of negativity around Aaron in parts of the Packers Twitter sphere, if you will. And look, I can't help but appreciate everything he did for the organization. As a fan, like watching him, I'll never forget the run the table sequence, because I've said so many times, greatest extended kind of run of quarterback play I've ever seen and probably will ever see.
Yeah,
it's those things, those plays, that stuff outside the pocket, and just an ability to, and the crazy part is like, unlike his predecessor, where I'm always kind of clenched up and, oh God, I don't know where this ball is going to go. Could go anywhere. I never worried. And so that's why it was always a shock when he did get picked off. But it just that feeling of the Superman who can make any throw at any time to any place and deal it all across the field. I'm definitely going to miss that. What I will not miss, and, you know, send your tweets to me, I don't care, is just the last couple of years where he clearly, I don't want to call him dour, but, man, it was hard to get him to crack a smile on the field, you know. It happened on occasion, but it just felt like his presence was really draining energy from the play on the field, from his teammates, from the franchise in general. And I get it, man. You've been there 16 years. He wanted out in 2020. They didn't acquiesce to his demands. So, you know, I think he was really frustrated. And so I don't kill him for it.
Right.
But man, like the number of times, just think back to like all the number of times where just a huge touchdown and you get a little like that from Aaron, or you know, somebody incomplete pass and just cut to Aaron, because that's what every director of every broadcast does. Cut to Aaron and you get some eye roll or some shake of the head and some and then it takes forever to get back to the huddle and forever to get out of the huddle. And then you're taking the play clock down and then there's the disgusted call the timeout. It's like all of that negativity is gone. And that's not to say that there won't be tough times and frustrations, because of course there will be. But it seemed like, especially his last couple of years, where his presence was not quite a black hole, but a bit of a kind of energy suck that I'll be happy to see the back of.
When we talk about like prime Aaron Rodgers, obviously we talk about the run the table, obviously the 2011 team that put up a ton of points with all those amazing wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I think there's something underrated about like my favorite Aaron Rodgers was the Aaron Rodgers that was having fun. The Aaron Rodgers that was doing the belt, the Aaron Rodgers that was just like confidence on top of the world. Like it didn't matter what anything was going on around him. He was just an assassin and he was going to crush you and he was going to have fun doing it.
Doing it.
And it felt like at the end of the McCarthy era, you could feel the drain then, and he just was not having fun. And I'm not saying it's all, again, same with you. I'm not saying that's all on him. Part of that was the surrounding.
Look, last year you get a look at, you know, the fact that he has to now work without Devontae Adams, who for a brief period, he thought he was going to be there and now he's gone, you know, and they bring in new receivers and nobody, like, the whole thing with the hand signals is hilarious and whatever, but it's like you still saw exactly what you're talking about. Little glimmers of it would peek through every once in a while. Like, and the one that always gets me is he hits a big throw to Lazard down the middle against the Cowboys, and he is running up the field like a kid in a candy store. Like, he's just about to beat Mike. And it's like, that's that exactly what you're talking about there. Like, that glimmer of, oh my gosh, he's having so much fun.
Yep.
And so you saw it peek out every once in a while, and that was all theirs, Aaron.
Yep.
But man, it was fewer and fewer kind of moments like that throughout the last couple of years.
No, I'm totally with you. And I think we're going to see more of that in New York. It seems like he's super happy.
Zero doubt. Yeah. I think he's going to be rejuvenated. I think we're going to see a lot of fun from Aaron this year here in New York. No doubt.
Yeah. So any people who are upset, you know, bashing Aaron, like, I think we're on lockstep here of like, I think he's going to have an awesome season. And I think he found his fun again. I think I've said all along, I felt like this was best for absolutely everyone, and correct, including Aaron. He just needed a change of scenery. Green Bay needed a change of scenery. I think this is going to work out. I'm hopeful that this works out well for everyone.
Agreed.
All right. Number five, the last Aaron specific question here. You and I feel like, have been on the king of the get Kenny help bandwagon slash train.
Right.
They go out and they spend a first round
pick
last year on Devontae Wyatt. I think we're all hoping for a jump from TJ Slayton. They get Colby Wooden in the fourth round. They still got Jonathan Ford hanging around. They get Carl Brooks. Does Kenny have enough help? Do you still want to see him get more help? And what are your expectations for that defensive line in 2023?
You know, I just talked about this with Justice at Acme Packing Company. Man, if there's one spot I think they need to make a call and bring in a vet, it's probably along the defensive line. I don't think Kenny has enough help yet. Yeah. I do think it's going to be fascinating to see how they utilize these big bodies up front, how much, you know, we know they're going to be predominantly sub, you know, they're going to see a lot of two down linemen. When they do use three and Kenny kicks out most likely to end, and they've got TJ probably playing nose. I mean, how much of that are we going to actually see? And if it is two guys like Wyatt, you're counting on a lot of, like, this guy. Again, going back to what we were talking about at the top here, it's not a given, man. And there are a couple of free agents out there that I wouldn't mind them bringing in. But, hey, look, I think probably in the spirit of kind of a renewal of the roster, right, a reset, they want these young guys to compete. They want these young guys to get the snaps and develop, and I totally understand that. I just have visions of the Eagles running for 300-plus yards, and I can't get it out of my head. So all I want is the ability to control stuff. And actually, that's one of the things I'm talking about in my chat today. It's first down defense. You got to be able to control stuff on first down. They were giving up 6 yards per play, over 6 yards per play. They were 30th in the NFL in regards to first down defense. They were lights out on third down. They just couldn't get to third down. So a big part of that to me is winning up front. And you can't win up front if you're completely kind of overmatched continuously week to week. And I think, again, yeah, I think one more big body might help. But we'll see. Now, who knows? They, like you mentioned, those young guys that they drafted, there are some penetrators there. You know, there's some guys who have some quick disruption. Maybe that's the plan. Rather than trying to physically overpower people, we're going to slice through gaps and create havoc. Like, whatever they're doing, let's get it done on first down, because that killed them last year.
Yeah, I was talking with, I think it was Justice, about this for later in the week. And him and I were talking a little bit about, it's interesting. You've got Devontae Wyatt, who's more of like a gap penetrator. You've got Colby Wooden, Carl Brooks, who I think are going to be more in that mold. Even like a Quay Walker can, I think, blitz up the middle a little bit. You've got a Lucas Van Ness, who I think can even do that a little bit from the inside. It seems like they've gotten a little bit quicker, a little bit more, maybe more gap athletic, penetrating. Yes. And I wonder if that is something that they maybe plan on doing a little bit.
It has to be. I keep thinking of that because, like, it goes against type in Green Bay for quite a while now. Yeah. Like, going back before when Pettine was in town, like, they have wanted those big bodies to kind of control gaps. And it sure feels like and looks like, and your point about Van Ness is spot on, like, throw him in the rotation where, I suspect we're going to see him inside probably more than maybe some people are expecting, with the idea of, let's create some havoc and let's, like, clog up these running lanes and let's get them behind the sticks rather than giving up, you know, over half the yardage needed on first down. So I'm thinking that's the plan. I'm hoping, because God knows, like right now, I see a lot of what, you know, as far as if they're trying to line up and control gaps, they're going to get pushed around again. And I don't love that idea.
I kind of wonder if the next, so last year we saw a lot of, in like the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of the two high safeties and just trying to keep everything in front of you and limit big plays and limit yardage, right? Yep. I kind of wonder if the next evolution of that is that same thing, but try to cause as much havoc up front and get upfield and try to get a loss. Try to make it second and 13, yes. second and 12, whatever.
And then let the secondary feast.
And yes. Exactly. And like, you know what? If I give up 10 yards on a passing play while trying to get upfield or on a running play, all right, you know, I'd rather go back to first and 10.
I'm resetting. Second exactly.
Like, you know,
totally
so
agree.
I wonder if that's 1,000%. Almost like the let's cause chaos. If we give up a 12-yard run, no big deal. We'll try it again next down. Maybe we can finally get a second and 13, third and 15, whatever, and finally get off the field and kind of go about it more that way.
And that's the thing, right? They were really successful after the bye week as far as they ran so much cover two and cover six and eyes on the quarterback. And the fact that they were as successful as they were on third down, and just, you know, as far as like giving up so many yards on first, if they can get into second and 13, get into third and eights, third and tens, man, they've got the horses in the secondary to make people pay, but they got to get there. And like I said, right now, I'm hoping that's the plan as far as the disruption up front will lead to some more of those advantageous, you know, down to distances.
I think that's certainly the hope. All right. Super quick bonus one, as we are getting closer and closer to the Hall of Fame game. Give me your elevator speech on why Sterling Sharp should be in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Oh man. He was a man among boys on the field. Anyone who follows me on Twitter knows my spiel here. It's unfair how Father Time has kind of erased how amazing he was. And I get, it was a very different media landscape. There's not as much available, like, film-wise, that you can kind of bandy about and show people, but you don't get how the entire stadium knew he was getting the ball. Brett Favre was only throwing it to him. Defensive coordinator spent all week planning how to stop Sterling Sharp, and no one could. Yep. I can't overstate it, and anyone who watched him will know I tell no lies here. Like, the man was unstoppable except by injury, and that's the sad part of it, is because if he had stuck around, I'm not saying he equals Jerry Rice's numbers, but he's in the conversation with Jerry Rice as the best wide receiver in the game. There's zero doubt in my mind that's how good he was.
There was Rice, Irvin, Sharp, you know, kind of Chris Carter, like the NFC, like those four NFC wide receivers were just like, it felt like head and shoulders above everyone else.
Everybody, but, no question. Yeah.
No, totally agree. All right, last question, personal question. Your favorite all-time Cheesehead TV moment / memory?
Oh, wow. Man, you should give me a heads up on this one. There's too many.
On the hot seat.
There's so many. Like, honestly, the first thing that springs to mind is the first time I got to interview Mike McCarthy off to the side of the combine. It was the first time I ever spoke to him, and he was like, I really like what you guys do. Like, that was awesome. Kind of a pinch me moment. Getting credentialed for the combine for the first time probably is up there as well, or going to the draft and covering that and credentialed for that. All that stuff was amazing. But I will say, probably, and there's maybe a bit of a recency bias here, but traveling to London last year and having our meetup and being absolutely overwhelmed at the number of people that showed up. I mean, it was insanity. Corey and I both were a little taken aback. We were very surprised. And it was, you know, our tag at Cheesehead TV is we're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. And I'm telling you, people showed up from around the world for that game, obviously. But they all made sure that they were at this meetup. And then on top of that, I'm going to the game that next day. And some kid on the tube is like, are you Aaron Eagle? I watch you every day. And I wasn't dressed with Cheesehead TV stuff. I'm just like chilling in my gear. And it was just mind blowing. Like, that's the first time I really kind of comprehended that, okay, we're kind of making inroads, you know, we're like, there's actually people kind of watching around the world. And we always talk about that. And obviously the majority of our viewership is in Wisconsin, but man, we want to connect people from all across the globe, and it seems like it's kind of working. So that was a very big pinch me moment, no doubt.
You guys have built something really special over at Cheesehead TV. I would be not be in my position today had it not been for Cheesehead TV. So
that's not guys, true. You'd be in your position. Maybe the path would have been different, but you've killed it, Andy. We've helped give you a platform at one point, but you're the one doing the work.
But it's an amazing platform. And like I said, you guys have built something really special, and you guys deserve all the success that you were given and have earned, no doubt about it. Aaron, this is absolutely amazing. I always love chatting football with you. I'm sure we're going to do it a ton more as football season starts to kick off.
Almost that time, baby.
Excited to see you at training camp.
Make sure
you're following Aaron. Where can we follow you on Threads, Aaron? And plug everything you got coming up.
Threads is Aaron's Story, because that's my handle on Instagram. So it's Aaron's Story on Threads, Aaron Nagler on Twitter. I don't know. Whatever the next social platform is, it'll be Aaron Sick of It / Thread. I don't know. Something like that.
Beautiful. Thanks again so much for doing this. Make sure to follow Aaron, of course, over on Cheesehead TV as well. You can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. You can follow me at Andy Herman NFL. Make sure to follow all week for our entire list of guests. It's going to be absolutely amazing. That does it for us. Until next time. And as always, go Pack Go.